tell you how I'm responsive to both of those. But in the Point Action Plan, it doesn't seem like much. I think this occurs on three levels. The one-page 10-point action plan is obviously bare bones. Then comes the letters to Secretary Bowen with the 9-page plan, which gives you more detail. And then comes the instructions that I've given to the different agency heads and people saying, read again the report. What I've got here is the 597 recommendations. So each of those have had a cut on them saying, you know, where we think they are and asking the agency to go beyond it. But if you look at item 4 in the 10-point plan, what Secretary Bowen is asked to do is to accelerate development, approval, and distribution of vaccines and drugs. The word distribution covers this business of wanting to more quickly, in all of the recommendations, IOM and otherwise, get what drugs are available to drugs and otherwise to people, but does not suggest what the mechanism is. This commission did. The IOM wanted to stay with the more traditional medical school approach where the trials were more controlled.
And what does the president want?
Well, the president wants to see the principle in this now. Let me look at the HHS letter. But the president wants to see people getting medicine more quickly, more rapidly.
Did he favor the IOM approach or the
commission approach? He didn't. This maybe goes back to the czar issue. In this case, he directs Secretary Bowen to get it done and doesn't give him the method of doing
it. What done?
More, well, what this really says. It says here, the inaction in and out of government that will accelerate the development, approval, and distribution of vaccines. That's what he wants.
So you think he's making a big deal over which way to go?
Let me move ahead, and maybe we're stuck to it. Just to say that in areas of people saying that they saw problems with the report, I lumped that as a speed issue, and I just gave you an example, not one of those. I'll come back to it, but the issue was that nobody had any objection to getting medicine to people more quickly. It was the plan, and what were you willing to give up in the process?
The whole issue of getting medicine, the only medicine that's out there is AZT. The rest of it is all just medical running to work.
No, but as you well know, there's considerable pressure in commission recommendations that phase 3 testing be accelerated or limited. And the president is saying, indeed, let's move faster than we are now. Okay? Let me, that was just an example. I don't want to spend the whole hour talking about one issue at the expense of a lot of other things. Okay. Now, the other thing that the report was criticized from, I heard this as well, is the report was too broad. It got into areas that they shouldn't have gotten into. They really covered the waterfront. And I guess in looking at it originally, the thought was, should we deal with home health care, which has implications far beyond AIDS and HIV infection, that gets into Alzheimer's and, loads of other chronic illnesses, or simply say, well, that's like a domain decision. But well, the reason the national charge that was made is he charged the commission to look at the medical, ethical, legal, social implications of HIV infection, and he told them to come up with the recommendations of the detect, find cure, and provide care. In other words, the charge was broad enough that Admiral Martin clearly was within the charge, and in my approach to what I elected, just because it's more than just this specific thing does not mean we should rule it out. We'll have to move on. One of the things here, which is also in one sense the sense of time it's come to, is looking at the whole healthcare system. The commission, in a number of recommendations, looked at the speed of the healthcare system, the distribution of funds, Medicaid differences, where some states can get AZT and others can't. The whole load of wide issues, risk pools, and said just because it's broader than this issue doesn't mean it's just right. And what I think it finds, or will find in history looking at AZT, it should raise a as I got through the 10-point plan, that are much broader than say just an infection, but there are issues that the commission raised that I think we need to address and very good look at. The other thing that they have to be careful of is in looking at this was not to imply that nothing was going on, that the world was sitting waiting for the presidential commission attached to the plan you have there. It's a little list of accomplishments, as you all know, further than 7 years of this virus, and 40 or 50 years of polio, and a couple hundred years of syphilis and other, I think, you know, tremendous finding the virus, know more about it than any other virus, coming up with blood tests, a whole lot of things that are really great accomplishments. But on the other hand, I think that if this commission report is used properly, it will really stimulate the field and make things happen more quickly. Well, I'm going to give an example, and I'll give you some other. It will stimulate, when I call one major medical organization, and we're going through the process that I'll describe, and ask them what they were doing to deal with those recommendations that were in there, whatever ones they were. They said, well, you know, we've been wondering what to do, but your phone call will get us together, and we'll have a meeting to get back to you. It was an organization. And there was some feeling of that in a number of places, but just a call from me triggered them to something. I think the same is true in all of the agencies, a sense of rapid action demanded. Because the approach that I took at the beginning was to identify agencies, governments, and non-governments that were identified here, you know, the various blood banking people, Red Cross, the American Dental Association, American Heritage Association, American Hospital Association, AMA, lots of people, and then the government people. And one of the sense of where we were with this, and the first question I asked, which of these things are you already doing or are in the process of doing? And then the next question, and this was particularly aimed at the government people, because you always want to show something happening, which of the things we can do in 2 or 3 months, if we can really put up and say, look, we've done something, which things are longer range. We divided the 597, then began to divide them up into the one pages. Of the 597, 364, which is approximately 61%, are recommendations directed at federal agencies. The other 233, or 39%, are principally non-president. When people would say, why didn't the president just sign off on these? Another reason was that they're not all federal recommendations. There's some fairly specific things to the AMA, the medical profession, to blood banks that we can provide help with, and I'll come back to how we intend to do that, but are not things that the president can do or enforce the law. Of the 364, although the 61% are federal, 35% of those are already done or being done very actively.
35% of 364?
Right. 9%, an additional 9%, are a part of the FY89 budget, and an additional 30% are in the budget proposal for the FY90. And then those are
these are all of the 364.
Those are the 364. So don't ask yes. So 35 of the 364, the numbers I just gave you are of the federal responsibility. So it's 61% are federal, but it's not.
Of the part that's federal, 35% is underway, 9% is 89,
30%
is 90.
Right.
And still missing.
Well, others we intend to push with this initiative. And a few we disagreed with. Actually, 36 is the number of ones that we just didn't want to do. The building codes one, the drug one, which says do the research and make it not the research agency. The non-federal ones, we agreed with 89% of the recommendations. Only three of the 233 did we disagree with. One of those was the building code, that's the non-federal one. And the others we think need to be looked at and looked at fairly quickly.
Three of the Everybody understands. The building says the plan.
Do you have a number by any chance?
Yeah.
I can tell you the building code one here, but I don't have all of them, but let me just put a couple of these this morning. Okay, here's the recommendation 213. What the commission said, in areas where availability of intermittent or chronic care services is encumbered by local restrictions or zoning requirements, such as the number of exits required for a building or allowable number of occupants in a facility, local government should provide reasonable variances to permit such care to be available. I guess you could say that reasonable variances, would cover it, but we thought that was probably outside of something we wanted to do.
I didn't want to take up the time for a reason. Do you have just a list? Do you just want to walk out of here if I want you to just do it? Or?
No, I don't have the list. I just the numbers, but I could get you those.
But of the 213 non-federal recommendations, you only disagree with three of them?
We agreed with 89%,
oh.
Which is more. We disagreed with three. The number is three.
Oh.
No, not 3%. And the others were considered.
How many federal did you disagree with?
Federal number that we didn't like is 36, which is about 9.94%. But I want to underscore in the I want to underscore that didn't mean we didn't agree with the intent in those things. You know, I gave the example of prevention research that needs to be enhanced in the Office of Substance Use Prevention. Well, we agree that prevention research needs to be enhanced, but the vehicle's wrong. Of the non-federal issues, if you want those 3 points to 8 or almost 4%, we just remove the line. That's only another 5% of the looking. Okay, let me go through the 10 points and give you some idea of how broad we feel that they can cover. The first plan is really the thing that deals with most things that people call traditional public health measures. It's in here that we take our major run at the non-federal responsibilities. Those issues which we can't do ourselves, that are issues of shared responsibility, or many times local responsibility. But we are directing the Secretary of Health to actively get into the business of looking at the issues. One of the issues that is important, and not just HIV specific, is the NIMBY issue, not in my backyard, which means we don't want to put those border babies where we live. We certainly don't want hospitals and extended care facilities for those people in our neighborhoods. But it's much broader than HIV infection. We find the same thing with drug treatment. We find the same thing with homes for retarded children. We find the same thing with people, with aging people. A feeling in the community that it's important that we care for others, but that's not where I live. Well, that's not a federal issue, but it is a federal issue, and what this directs is that the Secretary needs a series of consensus conferences or looking at how do we get there. So obviously, he has to have mayors, he has to have city commissioners, he has to have zoning people and housing people and local people to deal with a very reasonable societal problem. This is much broader than it could have been. That would be one issue that would be Recommendation 13 of the top 20 is Admiral Watson is really concerned about healthcare worker safety, not just doctors and nurses and emergency room people, but firemen and emergency medical technicians. And then what they discovered rallying around the country is what they do in Toledo is very different from what they do in Omaha, and what kind of gloves do you wear, and when are masks appropriate, and when do you wash, and when do you inform, and they indeed did a very special section in the book on that issue. Well, that's an issue that indeed HHS needs to be involved in, but it's broader than federal and what is directed in this first one. And more specifically, in the letter to Secretary Bowen, which does talk about healthcare worker safety, and then he was interested in that letter that you have attached from the President to the Secretary. It says, deal with this issue and get it done. Another issue is partner notification. On Roman numeral 19, and you have the, is that Roman numeral 19 on the book?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go up to 20 recommendations. So the bullet up from the bottom is recommendation number 19. Okay? That deals with the ethics of HIV infection and talks about three different things. It talks about the ethics of the infected person who knowingly continues behavior that affects others, and goes beyond ethical behavior, says that we are talking about criminal statute. That's addressed in the President's Action Plan, number one. The second issue says that we need to talk about the ethics of healthcare workers, physicians, and nurses refusing to care for sick people for whatever reason, and deal with that. Well, that's a medical AMA, ANA, AHA issue, but the Secretary's directed to do something about it in terms of pulling those people together. And the third issue is the issue of the general public who needs to understand the compassion of people who are dying and sick and ill and all that. So that those issues are addressed in his number one plan. And
in other words, this Congress can take in all these things.
Well, let me go. Let me go and take you instead to the expanded version which you have here, which is the President's letter to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, which is in the packet, dated August 5th, 1988. Have you got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, in this first part here, he spells out in more detail what are the issues that he wants HHS to address. So in this number two here, you can see that he includes the NIMBY issue in the last sentence and makes it much broader than just HIV patients, but talks about drug users, infected individuals, the border baby issue, which is an issue. But it's also one of their top 20 is addressed in that. He talks about looking at criminal statutes directed to HIV infected people, in specifically in about the middle of that number two paragraph. That's the second bullet, or the first part of the first bullet. I don't know if I'm confusing you, don't do that. I think when you read through these, you will see more meat. But what I see is number one recommendation sitting up is number 3, 6A, 13, 19A, 17, and 18 at the top 20. Those numbers are covered in the 9-page or no, or the 9.
Could you list that again? In the 9-page?
No, 2, Secretary Bowen.
Yeah.
These numbers in the top 20 address number itself. What is 3, 6A, 13, 19A, 17, 18, okay? And they cover lots of individual recommendations of the group. For instance, the healthcare worker safety, in the Watkins report, there are 18 recommendations dealing with healthcare worker safety. If you want to know where those are, there's 3, 37 to 55. Watkins was contract, so it feels like it's very efficient. And specifically talks about, you know, it's only owning a line. And healthcare worker safety, if that's what it means. And then it's a staff people. It means, well, that HHS can't carry some of those, but those are local issues. What it says is HHS must pull together the people that need to be pulled together. So that would be the emergency medical technician organization, the fire organization, and come up with a plan to immediately begin to better educate them. Find out what gloves are working. Now, we don't know what gloves are used for. Should they wear masks? A set of things directed specifically to them. But when you look at the Watkins, we're saying we endorse what Watkins says, and we see this is the way of getting. This is the implementation plan for the Watkins decision.
Right. We endorse the Watkins, what he was saying, not as a global statement or just on a particular issue.
The implementation plans are what he's trying to do is in those 18 things. Okay. But they're not federal issues. You know, that in this whole number one, this series of consensus contracts.
They're not federal issues, so we really can't do. We endorse the concept.
Well,
we can
find out better which gloves are effective. What works? So they need to wear gloves this type of thing. And we can pull together the people that need to pull together to get the job. So he's asked in this 12-month period to have consensus agreements on all of these issues. That's the charge. I just my personal feeling and President's feeling about this and the Vice President's feeling. This is a wonderful report. You know, that's what we're saying. That we need to do. This is not a rejection of the Watkins report. Watkins report, you can't understand, doesn't really tell you how to implement this stuff. You know, they say they'd like to see it happen, and we agree. And what the 10-point plan is really an implementation plan for the Watkins thing.
If you look at about a 20 summary points for the last report, and you say your program number 3, 6, 8, 13 actually says an issue.
Healthcare worker safety, if you want to know where that is, it's specifically that's recommendation 3, 37 through 55. You'll find that in the chapter 3, recommendation 37 through 55,
no,
are wrapped up in their recommendation.
But we could go in the 20 recommendations, the ones you left out number 1, you left out number 2.
I'm only up to the first recommendation. We're in 10-point action plan, which I've got that plan 1. No. Well, what so far, you know, I've tried to do is talk about number 1 of the president's 10-point action plan. And what you're saying is I haven't covered all of the issues, but I still got 9 more points in the president's plan. So.
So number 1
covers
list
those
lists
are covered in number 1. Okay. Or addressed in number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then number 2, and then there's also a lot about community-based educational approaches that talk about specific high-risk groups that may not be getting the attention they need. Certain women, certain minority groups that are at higher risk, and we need to tailor our community-based education to them more specifically, more directly. And it doesn't say study. No, it says increase the number of community-based education programs. That's the presidential directive number 2. So it is there's nothing.
Directive number 3.
No, I'm sorry. Letter to Bowman, number 3.
And so what are the 20 recommendations that are appropriated here?
No. What I'm doing is all of number 1, or most of number 1, will show up in the Bowen letter. The Bowen letter, number 3, is also in number 1. The number 1 is the bare bones. The number 3 is a very specific recommendation of Bowen. It doesn't say think about it. It doesn't say give me a report. It says increase the number of community-based educational programs. That's what the Secretary's recommendation.
How many of the 597 points
Oh, I think where we will be at the end of this in some stage of the federal responsibility. Well, actually, most of them, right? So the non-federal ones, we're trying to address those also, the 90% that we agree with in some form, although we're not the primary responsible.
The whole sense, as I wrote it down directly, not in Iraq. There are some stages of the...
Okay.
Say, answer the question.
Let me give you the non-federal responsibility. Of the 233 non-federal things, we believe that the action plan is helping to implement Be Belong 89% from where you can. Are covered in the action plan, although they're not our principal responsibility. We're accepting them as worth doing and taking credit.
Okay,
and
of the federal one?
Now, of the federal one, 34-35% are already ongoing. These are these numbers. Another 9% are planned for the 30% are under consideration for FY90 or that are being accelerated as a result of this plan.
Also there's going to be an FY90 budget administration.
Well, I hope there is. We deal with the budget in the 10-point plan also, right? That there is a specific budget recommended. The budget comes up a couple, but let me move ahead because I'm
going to go ahead and
Let me get to those numbers then. Or you've got the non-federal, right? Let me give you the non-federal thing. I'll just give it to you right from the thing. Of the 233, I'll let you do your own percentages. 210 we agree with and will hope to help assist, encourage with this plan. 3 we disagree with. 9 we're neutral about. And 11 have been referred back to appropriate federal agencies for the next cut. We're not sure. 11. Some other complex issues in the very basic. Okay, well that would be but these are non-federal. Okay, now the federal ones.
Can I just ask a quick question on the topic of
let me finish this thing. What's federal and
non-federal?
Oh, the commission pretty much says.
Is it federal or is it federal?
No, let me give you one. Federal ones are pretty obvious. Let me give you non-federal ones so you know what we're talking about. The one that I disagree with, for example, in the areas where availability management are not impaired, local restrictions or zoning requirements, such as number of exits and things, that's clearly not federal.
Okay.
So the AMA should do this. The American Dental Association should do this. American Hospital Association is not that. So it would spell that. I mean, they should be fairly clear. Okay. Now back to the numbers. Okay. Of the federal ones, the 364, 126 are actively either completed or ongoing on track consistent with the commission recommendation. An additional 32 are planned as a part of the FY89 budget. An additional 108 were already under consideration or planned to be implemented in the 90 budget. There are 62 that have been sent back for further review.
Definitely
are. The justice issue would be one of those. HHS issues. There were some that were more complex than other things. And then there were 36 with which we disagree. But I want to leave the story again just a disclaimer on the disagree. Not necessarily disagree with the goal, but with the implementation.
Is there any handy-dandy answer?
that for just introducing back to the agencies.
We've already spent 35 minutes. We're not going to get to 597 a day.
$4 million. We're talking $500 million. We're talking money to consider. when I talk to the commission members, they understand that. They say, yeah, that they would like to pay 3% on it. I'm betting friends have together. But they said, well, then we can have the 20% next year. So there's a feeling that the drug treatment system must grow, and their numbers aren't wrong, but they're not this year.
So I was in New York City, right? I'm in New York State. 1,000, 2,000 on the way.
That's probably the same. Well, they're pretty much the same. Management, improving or speeding the position here about insurance is that it tells HHS to encourage states to do it, but to look at the whole system in a serious way. That's obviously something that will show up in the next administration this time next year, unless it next year.
So
No. There were a lot of things in the commission report that addressed the issues, but didn't really know how to do them. Well, no, it goes further than that. It tells us. Let me read what it says more than that. It's just that one part of the concept. Okay, number 8 in the letter to Secretary Collins says conduct studies to promote out-of-hospital and case-managed care, encourage states to establish insurance risk pools or to increase the responsiveness of public health services. It's more than evaluate. It says to encourage, to increase, not come back and tell me we can't do it, but that's what he wants done.
Is there states like Texas and Louisiana that are on their back financially and have no money for it? What they're supposed to do?
I think that's a part of obviously what they need to address. I think that one of the commission recommendations is the business of the disparity in the way states treat Medicaid. And what it says here is look at speeding up services to low income. Find out a way to increase the responsiveness of the system to low income. Doesn't make studies to increase the responsiveness. Number 8 is fairly self-explanatory, but again, it directs the president says we got a world with the HIV infection. I want to play a major part. Secretary of State and AID, take a look at their 89 budget. Can't do more, and give me shortly a 3-year plan for what you intend to do in the next. Number 9 is fairly obvious. It says look at the 1986 AIDS Public Health Service plan and update it. Looking at the commission report, looking at the Charlottesville conference, and have that back in December. CHS will have that plan. He's asked me to report back to him at the end of September to say what's happening. Are my directives going? What's the status then? That's not very far away. And what the sense in that I get as I was at HHS this morning with the federal coordinating commission or committee with all of that people really are working actively to meet the deadline that's been assuming, and they're working through this 597 process. So the recommendations that I have here, if I show them to you, are only the August recommendations and the July recommendations. So I would hope to see these in better form, further along, more ongoing, more planned. But that's what that recommendation says, is that we're not off the hook, that this 10-point action plan is not the last track. And in December, another track to say, each of those tracks, I would expect that what we'll be able to say is, this is how far we've moved in this period of time, and these are the additional things that have been done so far. And then the last one, the one that obviously got the most press and most controversial, was the president's response to the commission's recommendations and the ILM recommendations that indeed discrimination is a problem for a variety of reasons and needs to be fixed. And despite the report that the president rejected, like if you will read the statement by the president, it's a very compassionate statement. Just number one, it's the immediate release statement by the president. And you will find in there the compassionate Ronald Reagan that he is. He talks about compassion towards social infection, dignity, and kindness. organization who directs the federal agencies and others to reach out to other people. It's in this size, Tiny Corner. He's in the process of sending a letter to the 1,000 top CEOs in the country, closing the OPM guidelines and recommending that they adopt them or some modification of them for themselves. So it's an active step that is more than just. Additionally, he wants non-discrimination. And they fit differently every time.
Will they have to report back?
Will
they have to report back to?
No,
who is this one?
Well, she's the director of Office of Personnel Management. So she's the one that signed the guidelines. In your book here, your blue book, if you don't have it, the OPM guidelines, you can read this as an appendix to the book. You can read what they say. They're wonderful guidelines for.
He's suggesting they adopt these.
Well, you can't tell IBM. The executive order could have directed every federal agency to adopt the OPM guidelines. This does the same. This is the letter here, which says to the heads of departments and agencies. It says memorandums for the heads of departments and agencies. The second paragraph says, and directs every federal agency to adopt a policy based on the Office of Personnel Management guidelines for aid. That carries the weight of an executive order. In other words, it's not.
What is the reason that you call this meeting? Why are we here?
I'm not sure why you're all here, but the reason,
my office did that. I thought I explained that before Matt came in. The Office of Media Relations, we hold briefings for the press all the time on many different issues.
The one point is. Now, the headline is, what happened to the other 587 recommendations? That's the headline. Because the news seemed to imply that only 10 of the 597 were addressed in the president's 10-point action plan, and that the president had rejected the AIDS Commission report, and that the president was saying, I don't want to have to deal with that. And what I've tried to say is that is not.
You said you wanted to be expeditious and kind of go out, what I read in the way, go out having done something visible. If that's what you wanted, then why not do the recommendation for an executive order and it's for anti-discrimination?
The executive order? Because you don't need it.
But the commission seems to think you do.
But the commission didn't understand that a presidential directive, which this is, to the federal agency carries the weight of executive order. No federal agency will not implement these findings. If you in your investigative reporting find out that the Department of State has not implemented these plans in 2 weeks, you go through it.
But your point is that the 10 points cover a great deal of this report. Mm-hmm. And you spell out very specifically which parts of this report you agree with and which parts of this report you don't, which commission's report you don't agree. If you know exactly which ones you like and which ones you don't like, why is these 10 points, which are briefer, vaguer, more global, and less specific, better than the very specific recommendations that you like, than the however many of those recommendations of this report that you like?
How would you have done it? I mean, maybe I'll throw it back to you. Would you have said, we like commission recommendations, just listed the ones you like?
This is a non-discriminatory question.
I think the answer is that 233 of Mark's essay. Some we think need further study, and others we don't agree with. But those that we agree with, which are the great majority of the president's plan for that.
And then you're saying the president thinks this is a splendid report. Is there any implement or 26 out of 597 suggestions. And you think that the public was misled by implying in the media that only 10 of the 597
misled, you know, and some of what did happen here, this is, let me give you the dynamic of what I saw here, was that you wanted to get to the story of one point, and what I wanted to leave you with was that we considered all of these recommendations important and serious, and went after them very seriously. And when people said this was the key recommendation of the commission, there is no key recommendation of the commission. There are lots of very important recommendations here, and to single one or two or three out, the commission couldn't get it below 20 themselves. I find a lot of very important things that we see as very important that are ongoing, but that will indeed receive additional push bump by the presidential directives.
Well, the one recommendation that Washington himself kept stressing as the key recommendation was the anti-discrimination legislation. Anti-discrimination legislation. And that is the recommendation with which you disagree.
No, in terms of
having legislation.
Well,
you disagree with that.
Well, I didn't say that either. The president has not rejected it. Let me just say the legal, the executive order.
The issue of legislation affecting everybody, private sector. That's what Watkins singled out as the overwhelmingly important recommendation.
I think that was underscored in that
circle. There's three levels. The one level, let's just talk about, is the federal agency. The second level is the 503, 504 handicap laws that cover or don't cover, depending on which interpretation you get, the HIV infected. 503 and 504 always covers the sick AIDS patient, but doesn't cover the other. The president is saying, I think those people need protection and should not be discriminated against. What he then says is, let's do this, but I'm not sure of the legal status of 503 and 504.
For an HIV positive person.
For an HIV positive person. But
Dr. McDonald, that's part of the 62 that are under consideration, not part of the 36 that were.
That's not as part of his 10-point action plan, but is the one that appears immediately below number 10.
And it's in consideration and is not rejected.
It is not rejected.
Anti-discrimination legislation is not rejected.
Read the 10-point plan, and the last statement says, in addition, the president referred to Attorney General Thornburg for expeditious review and response to the commission's recommendations as to how the federal government should provide direction and leadership to encourage non-discrimination for HIV infection. It's expeditious. It says response, and it doesn't say study it. It says how should the federal government provide direction and leadership to get it done. You know, that's the precedent.
So the possibility of legislation is not to be ruled out. It is one of the things that would be studied by the Attorney General.
Yeah, but more than studying, you know, I mean, I don't want to
be considered by the Attorney General as a way.
But the expeditious thing, it's not running under the rug. It's an expeditious review.
Well, that has been very
confusing.
That's quite different. So, indeed, that is under consideration and not being, and has not been eliminated. I just want to make
read that there. Yeah. Absolutely. No, it's very clear to me that the president has not rejected legislation.
Does this one would have to be back to you in September, or you report to the president?
We didn't put a day time on expeditions.
Last thing you mentioned that 36.6 have on top laws that we saw in the situation. Are those the things that have specifically passed laws covering people who are HIV positive, or are those states where the laws covering people who are handicapped and ill have been affirmatively changed by people who are HIV positive? What kind of laws are
they? The 24, 26 states have extended their handicap laws, their equivalent of 503, 504, to cover HIV-infected individuals, those people who are not yet sick, but indeed are infected.
Any interdependent
practice? Oh, yeah, those are at the state level. And those include dentists, mortuaries, the state of New York, for instance. In the state of New York, you know, when I took this, the system in many places is working very well. Did not imply that there was no discrimination. In the city of New York, I think there are 1,400 complaints that have gone to their sustained mediators in the city over the last couple of they're winning them all. Actually, I think it's only 10% that gets to court. The others, in the cities of San Francisco and Los Angeles, the record is considerably better. They're still settling all of those in mediation and none going to court. And then in addition to the 24, 26, there are additional number of states that have passed AIDS-specific discrimination laws. The state of Florida is the most recently. Ohio is considering one now. The number of people with HIV or AIDS that are covered are about 80% are now covered under adequate laws. It doesn't make discrimination go away. There are people who will continue to discriminate for a variety of reasons, but there's been a major movement over the last couple of years in the direction of states. And the advantage, let me take the advantage of the states doing that compared to the federal system. Although both the people in San Francisco and Los Angeles who run mediation panels would tell you they'd like to see a federal law, when you talk to them about the way their system works, it really works better than any federal system I've ever seen. And when you put it in a federal system, you change the parameters of negotiation essentially. So,
I'm not clear now. Why does it work better in that state?
Well, I don't know what you're saying, but anyway, the fellow I talked to in Los Angeles feels that it works better because he's a local guy in a local system dealing with local defense attorneys and prosecutors and businesses, and that the federal groups are a little bit removed in this as well.
Why is there no timetable on this expeditious response from the Attorney General?
Even if there are, 45 days from the FDA and 120 days or something else.
And discrimination is, as Admiral Watkins would point out, what he felt was the key part of it. I was wondering, why aren't you putting this first to the Attorney General on this?
I think some of the issues are the fact that the Attorney General was starting today, he was sworn today. But the word expedition is put in there to say we're not talking January, we're not talking June, we're not talking next year, we're talking soon.
Do you feel that the original reports on this misrepresented what the intention of the administration is?
No, I don't think so. I don't want to leave you any sense. I think Admiral Watkins did a wonderful job. I really do.
No, the media, do you feel when the original announcement came out, the media reports misled the public as to the intention of the president?
I think that the media reports focused on one part of one issue only. What I want to convey here is that there are lots of other issues that we agreed with completely and others that we're addressing very seriously. So I think the media reports tended to give people the impression that the president had rejected the commission's report. Not true. Nor that he had no intention of following the recommendations in it. True. So if that's misleading, I think that's true.
I think they're just a matter of perception.
There were some things that I read and things that what's a bizarre issue. They said the commission represented bizarre. I did this on television. Said, why didn't you go along with bizarre? Well, whoever said that the commission didn't recommend bizarre.
The one issue that we fixated on was the discrimination.
Absolutely.
We're going to have to give this room up, though, very shortly. So
it's an important issue. I'm not downplaying the issue, but it missed the blood supply, the vaccines, the healthcare system, the drug issue, all the other issues that are clearly very important, and the OMB management.
You think, though, the decision being made by somebody who's trying to decide whether to get tested or not, doesn't it say something, at least perception-wise, that the President of the United States feels that there should definitely not be discrimination, which he says, but he feels so strongly about it that he feels there ought to be a law against it to completely eliminate any chance of that.
But he said, he's not sure how to get this. He said, tell me how best to get this. This probably should be an off the record remark. Discrimination is a terrible thing. All of it is wrong. But the life and death issues are not discrimination. People don't die because of discrimination. They die because of blood supply, they die because of drug use, they die because of vaccines and cures. And don't separate discrimination out as the key to solving the AIDS issue. It's important. But there was a feeling that unless we got on discrimination, we weren't going to solve this epidemic.
That was conveyed by Watkins. Watkins repeatedly told the President of England, key issue.
I read about it. Somebody taking a kid and putting him in a cartoon. It's terrible. It's just absolutely atrocious. But it won't affect that kid's life. In a psychological sense of real damage. But the blood supply will, and drugs will, and the others will.
Well, actually, this is not actually the Watkins report. This is what you guys have been
no.
from it. And
no,
spot,
no, that, you are holding the weapons report.
The weapons report.
That is the weapons report.
On number four of the, on number four of this 10-point plan, it talks about shooting up and using the drugs. Might that include another federal allocation to buy AZT for states, similar to what was done last year, because in states such as mine, where the federal supply is running out, there are people who are going to fall through the gaps and die because they don't have Medicaid. They're too well on for Medicaid. They don't have private insurance. Will the federal government provide AZT?
I think if you link four with the first sentence in sentence five, you will see that we're going to have it.
When?
I'm not using it, but certainly by the 90 budget cycle. This administration will answer those
things. I'm sorry, we're going to have to end this. We've got to get out of here. We have another event in here.
We have to get escorted upstairs?
Yes.